Hi everyone. Welcome back to TTT, the Talking Transport Transformation podcast, brought to you by TUMI, the Transformative Urban Mobility Initiative. In many rural areas of Zambia, women are responsible for life-sustaining tasks like transporting food and water to their homes daily. Usually, most trips are made on foot, which can be time-consuming and exhausting. But one man is trying to offer an even better solution. And that is affordable and robust bicycles. These bikes help in empowering women because with a bicycle, they are able to move freely and independently. But how do women in rural areas get access to bicycles in the first place? This is actually one of the questions we are going to discuss today. And for that, we are very happy to have Wyson Lungu on our TUMI podcast. Wyson is the founder and CEO of Onyx Connect Zambia, an organization providing affordable bikes to underserved rural communities in the country. And these bikes are having a massive impact. But let's hear from Wyson himself now.
Hi, Wyson. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Hi, Laura. It's my pleasure being with you today. Very, very excited. Thank you.
I'm really happy to dive deeper today into your work you do with your company, Onyx Connect in Zambia. And you're selling bikes, right? To kick off, how did you come up with the idea of providing bicycles to local communities in Zambia?
All right. Thank you very much. That's a very important question. So basically, I have a telecoms background of about 10 years. I used to work for one of the largest telecommunications company in Zambia called Airtel. I was a sales and distribution manager for the whole country. So part of my work required me to do site rollouts, and most of these sites were in the rural areas, and also to make sure that we can have rural customers, particular remote areas and location. So one of the trips I had to one of the remotest parts in the country called is in the farmost part of Zambia called Kaputa. In order for you to reach Kaputa, you actually have to pass through a valley, and this valley is infested with animals, elephants, lions, rhinos, giraffes, everything that you can name. So what happened is that one of the trips that I took, I was using a 4x4, and unfortunately, I had all four tires blown out on my vehicle. Now you can imagine I was in the middle of nowhere, no one in sight. I think we had to wait almost about 5 to 6 hours before we actually saw somebody who was on a bicycle with a patient. They were trying to take that patient to the nearest health center, which was about almost maybe 75 kilometers or so. So I had to flag this person up and ask them if he could help us where I can, just to take me to a place where I can make a phone call so that way I can get help. And the person said, listen, I have to take the patient first. When I'm done, that's when I'll come back. So it took another 6-7 hours before they could come back. And finally, they took me to where I could make a phone call to ask for help. And that became a light bulb for me. I was like, wow, how do these people move from one particular place to the other? So I realized that actually mobility was a bigger challenge, especially in the rural areas. And that's where the Onyx concept of mobility and bikes and e-bikes actually started from. And this was in 2010.
This sounds really like a horrible accident, but I'm glad that you realized just the importance of transportation in rural areas. And you said you came up with that idea in 2010. And how did you then start your company?
Yeah, so in 2010, when I came up with this idea, it was something which I needed to think about and see how exactly I would be able to do it. And I also had other career aspirations other than actually working in formal employment and also working for big corporations. Because one of the things is that I wanted to do was I wanted to see how I could help in whatever that I'm going to do in the future to be able to bridge the gap between the haves and the have-nots. So this is urban versus rural. And there's quite a huge divide, especially in Africa, when you look at what the people in the rural areas have access to compared to the people in the urban areas. So in my thoughts, I say, listen, when the time comes for me to leave formal employment, I want to be in the mobility industry. That was something which I had already made up my mind. So after working for Airtel for about 8 years, in 2018, I decided to actually leave my good job. I mean, it was a good, well-paying job. I couldn't complain. But I think I had a much more bigger calling of trying to help people in the rural areas, especially with mobility. Because at the center of any social and economic development, the first thing a person has to do, they have to move from one particular place to another, depending on what they want to do on that particular day, on that particular week or particular month. So basically, that's how in 2018, I registered Onyx Connect. And that was in February, on the 19th of February 2018. And then we started operation in December. And by then, I had already kind of looked at different people that would be able to support my vision of trying to bring mobility to the rural areas in Zambia. And my our first people that actually really wanted to see how the mobility would go, because we wanted to make sure that we can validate some of the assumptions that I thought about in the mobility sector. Some of the assumptions were, if we introduced a pay-as-you-go bike in small incremental payments, would that be accepted? So we needed to validate that. And if we introduced this exclusively to women, would the women adopt it? Also, we wanted to validate how would be the appetite for mobility, especially for women in the rural area. So these are some of the examples that we wanted to validate. And at that time, FCDO, which was DFID, supported Onyx by providing pilot funding, seed funding. So we started in 2018 December, and yeah, we're still going strong now.
This is great to hear, and it's also great to hear how you started your entrepreneurial side with your different background before. With the work you do now, you said you're also targeting women especially. And if I'm not mistaken, women on a bike in Zambia is not that common in rural areas, isn't it? Women are often the family's breadwinners, you could say. And could you tell us a bit more about how providing bicycles helped empower women? What is the impact on their mobility behavior?
Actually, Laura, the impact is huge. I wish the world understood what mobility means for everyone in this world, and especially women who are marginalized, who are segregated, who are excluded in some of these very important economic and social agenda, including climate change. So I'll go into some specifics, giving you some specific examples in terms of the impact. So access to mobility for women is really a challenge, because most of these women, they can be housewives or they can be entrepreneurs. They can have whatever form you can think of. But having access to mobility is very difficult, because mobility in terms of bicycles or even motorcycles or even cars are very expensive. So they are beyond the reach of these people. So I'll give an example. And most of these people are women. They make less than $2 a day. So you can imagine how much in terms of financial resources they require in order for them just to own a bike. And another thing to note is that when you look at a bicycle in the rural area, a bicycle is a catalyst. It unlocks unlimited potential, not only at the household level, but also at the community level and also at the national level. Why do I say that? The first one is that most of these women, in order for them, I'll give an example. Women are the breadwinners in the rural areas, even in urban areas. They are the people that wake up at 04 in the morning to prepare their children for going to school. They have to go and draw water. The average distance for a woman in the rural areas to draw water is about 5 kilometers. I mean, that is, you can imagine the amount of effort they go through just to go and draw water. After they have done that, in the morning around 6, they need to go to their fields where they need to go and cultivate so they can grow, you know, your maize, your cassava, your soybeans. And all these particular activities require somebody to move from one place to the other. So you can imagine the huge impact a bicycle has when you provide it to women, because women are the breadwinners. Women are the ones that take care of society. Women are the ones that make sure that children go to school. Women are the people that make sure things are grown and they are sold in the market. So these are just some of the basic things which women do. So I'll give you a typical example. In 2019, we provided 133 bicycles to a women's group in Southern Province in Zambia, in the areas of Kalomo and Zimba. And in that year, in 2019, going into the 2020 season, Zambia experienced a drought in Southern Province. Now, you can imagine if these people did not have the bicycles that we provided for them, the 133 bicycles, basically they would have died from hunger. So because of the bicycles we provided, they were able to ride as far as 30, 40 kilometers just to go and look for wild fruit in the forests, which they can use for them to eat on a daily basis. They would go to look for mushrooms that just grow naturally in the wild. But these are 40, 50 kilometers away just to look for these mushrooms. So you can already see the transformational effect of a bicycle. And I'm talking about this. This is like real time. So without the bicycles, without the support to provide mobility for these women, you know, they would have lost lives. An example, another example I would be able to give you, in Central Province in Zambia, there's a place called Liteta. Liteta basically is like a small town, but Liteta has a what they call a level one hospital. So there are people, especially mothers who are pregnant, who have been dying before they even reach Liteta hospitals because they have to travel on foot a distance of about 50 to 75 kilometers. So you can imagine the kind of devastation. In this 21st century, we can't have women who are pregnant dying because they cannot access antenatal service. You know, so these are some of the real significant impact that bicycles provided. So we provided about 12 bicycles to these women in the Liteta area, to enable them when they are due to deliver, say within a month's time, they are transported using a bike to the nearest health center, and they can wait maybe a few weeks until they deliver, so that way they have a safe delivery and they are delivering in a health institution. So these are some of the huge impact that we are doing, the difference that we are making by providing bicycles. And now we are also going into providing e-bikes. And also for the farmers, we're trying to incorporate e-cargo bikes that will have chillers so that way they can preserve their milk for them to make sure that they are able to deliver the milk to the milk collection centers when it's still fresh.
Wow, this sounds really like a transformational effect you're describing. I can really imagine how important the access to health is and, yeah, what an impact your bikes have on the women's lives. Just to imagine for us, how do you ensure that especially low-income households have access to your bicycles?
Yeah, so basically what we do is that, because I mean, I've been working in the rural areas from my telecoms side of work when I was in the telecoms industry, in the FMCG, also just having interaction with people in the rural area. So we understand, so most of the challenges which the rural areas have is that their income is very seasonal. It's very seasonal because they depend on the normal rains. Like right now, it's a rainy season which starts from about October and ends in April. So this is the time when they grow different crops, and when they harvest in around May, June, July, August, that's where they have disposable income which they can use for repayments. So basically what we do is, as Onyx, because now we understand exactly the dynamics that play in the rural areas, we have what we call a cross-subsidy model. So basically we have tied up our bicycle business with some of the large corporate companies in the urban areas. We target their employees who live more than 3 kilometers away from their workplace, so they need mobility to go to work on time. So we are able to provide these large employer-based organization our bicycles, and we collect the money via payroll deduction, and it's 100% recovery, so we have no default there. So the monies that we receive from these non-defaulting employee-based deductions, part of that money is the one we use to buy now bikes, which we now take to the rural women in the rural areas, because there the repayments are much, much longer. Instead of them paying within 6 months to 12 months, they pay up to 24 months, very, very small amounts, as low as $10 per month. The reason for that is that, one, we are able to recover the money when the seasonal, the seasonality is at its peak, where they have harvested, they have sold their agricultural produce, and then they can be able to pay us what they can afford, as much as they can. And then in the non-peak season, what we have done now is that we now accept what we call payments, not in form of cash, but in form of commodities. So they'll be able to give us, when the time comes for repayments, they're able to give us maize in place of money. They're able to give us cassava. They're able to give us soybeans. They're able to give us rice. So whatever that they grow is what we now exchange. And when we get those commodities, we are able to sell them to off-takers, such as millers or brewing companies, you know, that make beers and other things. So that has really, really worked for us, and we have had no challenge in terms of payment. So where these women have disposable cash between May and August or September, we are able to collect that cash. The non-peak season, then now we are able just to get exchange with commodities. So basically that's how the program is now working. We also introduced rental. So basically we have women farmers that grow different crops, and they need to transport them, say, from an average distance of about 15 to 20 kilometers. So they can be able to rent our bike. Then we are introducing, starting next month, e-cargo bikes. They can rent that bike for like $1. They use that bike for the whole day. So they are able to ferry their perishables, you know, your tomato, your onion, your vegetables to the nearest market. They are able to sell there. Those that produce milk, they are able to produce the milk throughout the day and take it to the milk collection center where they go and sell it. The reason for that also is that they are able to deliver multiple times during the day. And like when they do not have a bike, they only deliver first thing in the morning, and that's it. So now where they deliver only, before they used to deliver about 20 liters of milk, now they are able to deliver 100 liters of milk, because they are able to do that using the bike. So the rental model has actually worked very well. And then also in the rural areas, there are other players who are in the renewable energy who are basically renting out solar powered batteries. And these batteries are heavy. So most of the rural women or people, it's difficult for them to carry a battery for like 5 to 10 kilometers. It's really a challenge. So they rent our bike, and they're able to carry that battery, taking it to their home, so they can power their house with simple electricity, and they can charge their mobile phones and other small accessories. So basically, that's what we are currently doing.
This sounds like a really well-functioning system. I especially like the idea that you introduce a rental system for your bikes. Could you tell us a bit more about your bikes itself or themselves? Are they special in any way?
Yeah, so the bikes have to be very special. The reason for them being special, one, when you look at the African terrain, is very different from what you might call the European terrain. I mean, when you go to Frankfurt or you go to Berlin or you go to New York, if you're in the US, or you have very robust road infrastructure, basically from bikes themselves, you go to electric scooters, go to motor vehicles, you have speed trains and all that. In the rural areas, none of that is in existence. Basically, it's an open, rugged terrain with a lot of trees, a lot of gravel, stones. Pretty much the terrain is very, very rough. So you need basically rugged bicycles that can stand the African terrain. So most of the bicycles that we use are Buffalo bicycles, which are made purely for the African terrain. And then also, like I said, we are introducing e-bikes and e-cargo bikes. And these also will be specifically designed with the African terrain in mind. So we are working with one of our partners, actually from Berlin, called Anywhere.Berlin. They are into e-bikes production. And the e-bikes that they make are basically made for the African terrain. So this is the specialty. And then the specialty also is that we, with these particular bikes, we make sure that they have an increased load capacity. So the dilemma is, if any person in the rural areas wants to go somewhere, they have to make sure that they carry everything that they need in order for them not to make multiple trips because the distances are long. So they pretty much overload the bikes. So the Buffalo bike is able to hold in excess of 150 kgs. The e-cargo bikes, which we want to introduce with the chillers, they'll be able to hold probably more than 200 kgs. And this gives the rural people enough room to be able to carry at one go everything that they need, so that way they don't have to make multiple trips, because the trips, once they make the trip, coming back is really, really a challenge because of the distances. So basically, that's how these bikes are very special. And then, of course, when you introduce e-bikes, it means now that in place of pedaling, instead of the physical pedaling, these people can just ride the bike without pedaling, which also helps, because at the end of the day, everybody needs a little bit of energy to be able to do other things other than just use it for cycling. And then when you get to your destination, basically you are tired. So that's the specialty and the innovation that we have introduced.
This is really cool. Do you plan to expand your business in any other African country, or do you see any potential for replication?
Yeah, this is very, very, very exciting. So my vision, our vision is that we want to be able to sell 1 million bikes by 2030. And that is in line with meeting some of the sustainable development goals. Probably I can mention one of them, and goal number one, we know, want to eliminate poverty and hunger. Also, you look at the gender divide. So we are targeting, you know, SDG 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, and 17, which is mitigation also of the effect of climate change. Mind you, a bicycle does not provide any emissions, so it's safe for the environment, and then it does not disturb the ecosystem that is already existing in the rural areas, you know, your trees, your streams, your rivers, and whatnot. So we want to make sure that these are preserved. Now, in terms of replicating this in other countries, Zambia is our first start. And as you might be aware, Zambia is a land-linked country. We are surrounded by 8 other countries. And these countries lead us into Southern Africa Development Community, SADC, and also COMESA. And alone in Southern Africa, through SADC and COMESA, we have a customer population of about 400 million customers. So our expansion is that we want also, other than Zambia, we want to go into Malawi, we want to go into Tanzania, we want to go into South Africa, we want to go into Namibia, we want to go into Angola. One of the biggest markets is the DRC, Congo. Already in DRC Congo, they have a population of more than 70 million people. So in terms of the business scale and expansion, the sky is a lower limit. And for us, even to target 1 million by 2030 is actually a drop in the ocean, because all these SADC countries, the difficulties that they face are very similar. And at the top of the agenda is mobility. You have a population of 60 million people, but only 2 million have access to vehicles and access to means of transportation. The rest basically have to walk or probably cycle. So the mobility challenge is quite a huge thing. And for us to be able to be the people that provide and drive the African economic mobility agenda, I think is at the heart of what we want to do. At that scale, we are able to transform an entire continent.
This sounds like just such a huge potential. It's great to hear that you have such great expansion plans and that you actually reach really high with at least 1 million bikes by 2030. Just to come to our last question, which piece of advice do you have any tips that you would like to give to other entrepreneurs that are interested in starting a company in the mobility field in Zambia or another country you just mentioned?
Fantastic. So before I give the advice, I just wanted to mention something which is very, very important. So in our drive to reach the 1 million bikes by 2030, we have a couple of cooperating partners that we feel, you know, we need to work with so they can be able to support us reach that goal. That's why we are talking to GIZ currently right now. So hope they can come to the party and help us, especially with the rural agenda of mobility, because like I said, mobility is cross-cutting impact and catalyst to unlocking unlimited potential. So other than GIZ, we are currently working with FCDO through the UK government aid in Zambia. We are also working with Prospero. We are also working with Impact Capital Africa. We are working with GreenTech from Berlin. We are also working with UNCDF through Bongo Hive. Just recently, I was in Helsinki in Finland. We are working also with the Finnish government through the AGS program, as well as Finn partnerships. And the reason for these different partnerships is that we want also not to be left behind by introducing, we want to introduce innovation and technology such as e-bikes, because we believe that these will be a game changer and a catalyst to unlocking a lot of potential, especially for rural women. And then to answer your question, the advice basically that I would give to upcoming entrepreneurs is that the mobility industry or the mobility business is open space, because most people are not playing in this field. So at some point, one, it becomes a niche market. And then the other thing is that when you look at people that want to support the mobility, especially in the rural areas, most investors, most funders look at the rural areas as non-commercially viable. But they forget that that's if you want to make any meaningful development, social change, climate mitigation, you need to start from the rural areas. Because if those areas are left behind, then what kind of meaningful development and social transformation agenda are you achieving? Because you're only concentrating with people that live in the urban areas, which is not fair and which is not right. So for us, we want to make mobility a human right. The reason for it being a human right, because whether you live in the urban areas or in the rural areas, you should be able to have the same access as everybody else. You should be able to have the right to move in order for you to do business. You should be able to have the right to move, to be able to engage yourself in social events or activities. You should be able to have the right to education by making sure that you can attend school, but you are able to go to school because you have the means to use to go into that school. So these are some of the things that we want to see happen. And so I'm encouraging entrepreneurs, does not have to be African entrepreneurs, even European entrepreneurs that want to work with us, to partner with us, or start on their own mobility business or programs in Africa, they are more than welcome, because Us as Onyx, we are just a very small part in the bigger scheme of mobility, and we cannot do it alone. So that is basically my advice.
Wason, thank you so much. It's been so great to talk to you, and all the points you stressed about the importance of mobility and that you want mobility as a, actually as a human right, because it's such a foundation for everything else, access to health and access to education for children so they can go to school. It's really good that you stressed on those points. I really think that you do such an amazing job with Onyx Connect and your bikes. And many of our listeners, maybe entrepreneurs too in the mobility private sector or change makers in the field of development cooperation, can really draw inspiration from your work. Thanks a lot for your time. And thank you for sharing your vision and your experiences with us. And all the best for you, and speak to you soon.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. We're really happy and excited that we could be on this podcast. And then actually today, there's a segment running on the BBC Focus on Africa called People Fixing the World. And Onyx Connect is being featured, where we talk about what we are doing and what we intend to do in terms of mobility here in Africa. So look it out on BBC. I think it's got different time slots that is actually playing from today, I think for the next week or so.
Cool. We find that and put it in the show notes. Thank you, Wason.
Thank you. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Wason, for sharing the importance of providing bicycles to those living in Zambia. I believe we now have a better understanding of the mobility dynamics within the country, and more specifically, the role of women within Zambia. It was really great to hear about how being able to have a bicycle empowers residents to achieve their goals. By the way, before we say goodbye today, allow me a short advertisement on our own behalf. We learned about Wason and his work through our newly relaunched Tumi Friends network. Tumi Friends offers a platform for exchange for sustainable mobility companies interested in the German Development Corporation. Through this network, Tumi connects international companies such as Onyx to relevant stakeholders. So if you're interested to learn more about Tumi Friends and also, of course, Onyx Connect, feel free to check out the links in the show notes of this podcast. That's it for now. We hope you all enjoyed today's episode. As always, thanks for tuning in, and hear you next time.